Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored. Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
Hello. Once again, Merry Christmas, and once again, welcome to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast with me, Matt Ford.
And me, John Richardson. This is the fourth of our World Cup specials.
Yes, it is indeed, and the World Cup really shaping up at the quarterfinal stage. Now, we all know what the vast majority of people on the planet were doing Sunday night. Mm-hmm. John, did you watch any of the game?
Not one second. Not one morsel. Did I swallow? No, we'd been away. We had a drive back. We got home late as a result of my... Do you know what saved me from any real conflict? It's the fact that the games are at 7, not 8. And at 8 o'clock, I might be inclined to think, if I get my daughter to bed, I can get her down by 8 and then watch the game. At 7, I think, right, if I run the bath 4-7 and she goes to bed a bit late, that eats up any conflict because I'll just be doing that.
Oh, so you're letting her have later nights so that the temptation is reduced.
Exactly,
she's
yes.
A kind of nicotine patch against football.
It should be bath at 6:30, in bed by 7:30 for story time, asleep by 8 at the very latest, usually a bit earlier than that, obviously on a school night. But during the World Cup, it's bath at 7 and then in bed by, you know, asleep by 8:30.
Now, what people worry about, John, when they hear people like you talking the way that people like you do, is are you judging the rest of us? What do people like you think of people like me?
Well, I think you're scum. I hope you get stampeded by gazelle. No, you're in the majority. Obviously, it's not nice to feel that you're somehow not in keeping with the flow of the country. Swimming against the tide, as it were, is tiring. But, you know, I care about all the people that are watching the games. I'm not going to say they're bad people. And probably a lot of my feeling the need to make a big decision is based on having some sort of voice and profile and it being important to me to say I'm not watching it. If I had a proper job instead of flouncing about talking crap and I worked very hard and I didn't see my kids in the morning because I left for work at 7 and then I get home and put them to bed and I see them for about 30 minutes and then a game kicks off at 7, I'd probably crack open a beer and watch a game.
Do you know what I watched? So I watched it at home on Sunday night, watched us beat Senegal 3-0, and we were great, John.
Were we?
We were really great. Bellingham's incredible.
I'm hearing a lot of that. I'm hearing that the only breakout player of this tournament, when in the Euros it was Phillips and Rice and Saka and all that, this time it's Bellingham's tournament. Is that right?
It is. Yeah. I mean, Foden looks great as well. And Kane is Kane's in the form of his career. Just a remarkable ability to pick out the perfect pass and to unlock play in a way that no one else can.
He's the greatest passer of the football there's ever been.
I really believe he is.
It's time for Fordy's hyperbole.
I watched it on the city with fake fish and...
Oh, city. I thought you said city.
Oh.
Say city again.
The city. Yeah, like the sofa thing, the city.
Yeah. You've got a L-shaped corner unit, haven't you?
I have indeed, and I was on the sticky outy bit, and I had it with fake vegan fish. As you know, John, I have a lethal fish allergy, and whenever I'm in pubs, often in London on a Friday, and I smell that salt and vinegar on the chips and fish, I was thinking, oh man, I can't believe I'm not allowed it. So obviously, in this era of effectively genetically engineered mutant...
Thanks to people like me.
Exactly. So I had fake fish with chips and peas, and it was lovely, really nice.
Well, obviously, you've got nothing to... taste it up against. So usually the complaint would be it's not quite like fish, but I imagine as someone who's never had fish or maybe has had it twice followed by your throat closing, you don't really have that comparison. Did you have the chunky fish or the fish fingers?
Chunky fish. It was like a fake fillet.
Say,
it was like a big bit.
Not as good as the fish fingers. And you are now open to the fish finger sandwich, which is one of the great treats of humanity.
Oh, John!
White bread, lots of butter or marge, vegan fish fingers. You can now buy vegan mayo. You can chop up a few gherkins into that mayo to make a sort of tartar sauce. I like to chop some pickled onions in there as well and some capers. Vinegar on your fish fingers. Slam the sandwich shot. Oh, my God.
Yes, that's a really good point. I hadn't considered that yet.
Oh, so
that,
my God. I've never film had it, a fish film finger it, film sandwich. Film it, send me it.
Do you know... Well, you know, I've got a photo. I'll send you a photo.
You did not
did I send
me
you
a photo
of my meal.
Your fish fingers and chips. Your fish and chips.
Let me do that for you now.
I'm going to judge
in
you on your
the
chips.
In the meantime, well, they were just oven fries, and I didn't make them, so don't be too cruel. so I had that. So I had vegan fish, not real fish, obviously, and then I had. And then I add.
Oh, don't keep me.
Sorry,
in
I'm just. Oh, I'm. I know. Hold on. Do you know what? I'm doing that thing where I can't get my head straight.
You're all over the shop, aren't you? It's really throwing you out this winter.
Here we go.
World
I found
Cup,
it. I found 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 it. It's on your phone. Check your phone.
I've got it. Oh,
steam coming off
steam
them peas.
The volume of steam you've got coming off those peas suggests there's going to be steam trapped underneath, which is going to cause liquid runoff and soggy under chips.
I don't mind that. I like a bit of a... You know what? What a great phrase. You know when in films they try and find, for children, phrases that sound like a swear phrase? I won't give you the steam off my peas. Wouldn't that be good? For like fantastic Mr.
What
Fox
do you think
say?
Strikes me most? There's two things that are immediately apparent to me from that picture.
The remote
control.
Controls.
Which one?
The one
dangling
on
the
edge of the table.
Bang on, you know me well. Slide that back, mate. Upsetting. Second,
second
thing's on your plate. And I'm not against it, but it strikes me. It's your pea to chip ratio.
I love peas, John.
Oh, I can see that.
I love them. And what I find is, if you're having, let's call it beige food, i.e. chicken Kiev chips.
Processed crap
plus chips. You do need a bit of colour on there. And also what I find is the sweetness of the peas, the way they satisfyingly pop in your mouth, just give you an amuse-bouche and just keep that meal flowing in a way that it wouldn't without them, if you see what I mean.
If I was to describe your plate to the listener as a clock, I'd say your fish is down the left-hand side, 6 p.m. till 12 a.m.
Six while 12
is your fish. And then you'd be expecting, I think, most listeners would say your chips are 12 till 4 and your peas are 4 till 6. But your chips are 12 till 2. You've got 2 hours of chips there and you've got 4 hours of peas.
Yeah, but John, what you've also got to consider is what's under the peas?
Oh, there's more chips under the peas.
The peas, old friend. You won.
You cannot put peas on chips. They'll go soggy.
Oh, well, it don't bother me.
No, you like
a
soggy
a
chip.
Sog.
I can tell you like a soggy chip because to me, they're underdone. Anyway, no.
I didn't cook them.
I know. Well, tell her to put them back in for another 5 minutes.
I couldn't because the game was starting. Anyway, so I had it with those and cans. Of Heineken Zero.
Oh, you've gone for the Andy Fordham route of zero alcohol beer. If I just drink enough of it, it'll taste the same.
Well, the little stubbies.
Andy Fordham famously quit drinking and then would drink a crate of non-alcoholic lager while he was practicing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well,
but he was addicted.
Yeah. I mean, I just thought, because I'd work the following day, so I couldn't get drunk. So I just thought, you know what? It did strike me. I thought, I'm having fake fish and fake beer. It felt very 2022, John.
Did you blend up some, perhaps some oat milk and have a fake shake as well?
Oh, that's lovely.
Thank you.
Oh, John, that's lovely.
Thank you.
You know, maybe we should do that.
I don't want people to think I've become this pious, sanctimonious prude. You know, I'm still a comic. You know, cut me and I bleed puns. I just not watching the World Cup.
Have you watched any of the fallout, like the players celebrating afterwards and stuff?
No. Why would I?
Because it's happy times of the England squad returning back to their hotel.
It's
Jack Grealish is just such a happy soul, isn't he?
Well, yes, perhaps too happy in previous years. No, I don't, you know, the happiness is the worst thing for me because that's all the, you know, that's all the let's bygones be bygones crap, isn't it? So, you know, if they are going to win, I think they should go back to the hotel, go to bed and sleep literally until the next game.
I think Harry Kane probably does do that.
Go into stasis, into sort of cryogenic chambers.
Like the Thundercats did when they left Thundera.
Yes, exactly.
In pods. Until the England squad travel in time suspension pods, Rico ain't watching.
That's it. Freeze our boys.
Oh, I tell you what you would have liked, John. Mm-hmm. I tell you what you... And I had to try... I mean, it took all my self-control not to actually cry.
Oh, lovely.
In Southgate's post-match interview when he's asked about Raheem Sterling. Now, you may have seen on the news an incredible scenario where Raheem Sterling's house was raided by armed gunmen.
Yeah. And the incredible phrase, some things are more important than football, which to me is 2 or 3 weeks late. Let's think of Raheem's family. Absolutely. Support that 100%. Let's ignore the families of the dead workers.
I don't think that's what Gareth Southgate... I think that's unfair on Southgate to suggest that's his worldview.
I'm not implying for a second that Southgate is a bad man and everything he said about Raheem Sterling and his horrific predicament I support. However, the irony did strike me.
Okay, so then, in John Richardson's opinion, every week, who is a bad man? Who's this week's bad man?
Oh, that's good. This points out the flaw at the heart of John Richardson, because when you give me a vehicle like this and you give me the chance to, on a public platform, decry who I think is a bad human being, do you know what my brain says? Go personal. Don't waste this platform by outing somebody everybody's talking about. Talk about someone who's pissed you off face to face this week. Really name and shame some piece of shit from your private life.
Yeah.
Do you know who I'm going to go for? Oh, no, I'm not. Give me a minute. Tell me what you were about to tell me about Gareth Southgate that nearly made you cry. And then
It was the quote you hated. It was when he said some things are more important. And I just thought you're letting one of the stars go. Obviously, he had to go home. But I just thought, what an amazing man. No wonder these players are playing for him when he looks after them like that. I just thought it was remarkable.
Yes. Well, some things are more important than football.
Okay. Here's a good. And obviously, let's take human rights as read.
Yeah.
And other things like that, like. Yeah, solving poverty, hunger, recognize
this is a World Cup special of a football podcast.
But let's big issues aside.
What is
more important than football?
Crisps, chips.
It's tricky, isn't it? Oh, I'll tell you what I did this week, John. God, you're going to love me for this. Each week on my Tesco shop.
Yeah.
You know how you like you get the Christmas section now? I just add it. You get like flavours you can't get the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah, of course you do. Your pigs in blankets, crisps and so on.
100. I then add 2 or 3 different ones a week and just rotate them so that over the course, in the run-up to Christmas, I've got a very clear view of the crisp landscape and the flavours that I prefer.
Okay.
So I've got to recommend Tesco's turkey and stuffing balls. They come in a massive bag.
Like cheese balls. Very
flavoursome. You what?
A crisp, like a cheese ball.
Yeah, like maize-based snack. So the consistency of a tangy Tom.
Oh,
but turkey
God,
and stuff.
I've had a tangy Tom for years. That's such a lovely reference.
Thank you very much.
So the genius is putting tangy in the title because you can feel it in the back of your mouth and your back of your palate. There,
you can feel that. Those Ghostbusters crisps, they had a similar bit of...
Yes.
What I would call a bit of left-hand side on them. Just that extra twang that would wrap itself around the back of the tongue.
Oh, you bastard.
Yeah. So they're my top pick, the turkey and stuffing balls. But this week I also tried Tesco Finest do caramelized onion vegetable crisps.
Oh, now that's a lot of words there I don't like.
Okay, take them in order. What's the first word you don't like?
Caramelized.
Why?
Because it implies a sweetness. I don't want caramel in my savory snacks. Very often have I ever mentioned this on the podcast that I'm a vegan? Has it come up?
I can't remember, really.
I've been such a sanctimonious twat about other things. I can't really remember whether I've mentioned the veganism. Very often your option is some sort of caramelized beetroot, caramelized onion. I'm a man who likes pickled onion, pickled beetroot. I like sour, sharp, spicy. But because I'm vegan, the assumption is I have a weak palate, the palate of a Victorian ghost. and all I like is little sweet, delicate flavours. And I like to be hurt by my food. I like it to punish me the minute it enters my mouth until it leaves my sphincter. But caramelised onion, it's just too sweet. It's like braised cabbage.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, but sometimes it's that balance, isn't it, between the red wine and the vinegar flavours and
yes.
the spice and the sugar flavours. And sometimes it's like jam on the side of your roast dinner. It's disgusting. And sometimes wallop, it's a little bit of twist, a little bit of spice. It's nice.
Sometimes, John, when you talk, you piss me off on such a level that I can feel my bones itch. Other times when you talk, I feel like I'm cradling you in my arms. And just then I felt we were physically so close to each other.
Yeah, bonded.
I just thought that was such phenomenal analysis.
Oh, I tell you what, if I ate meat, we'd be closer as friends. That's a fact. You know, it's a frustration that, because you don't eat a lot of meat, do you? But it's those special occasions, you know, that we enjoy an American diner meal, don't we, with our friends? Oh. It's our big reunion special. And yeah. It's awkward being the one who has to have the, you know, the veggie stack or whatever it is, or the vegan hot dog. You want to be able to say 4 Philly cheesesteaks and a round of beers. And it does drive a wedge. Every roast dinner with family. Oh, have you got a vegan option? Yes, I'll have the not roast. Cue the same gags every time. Oh, do you want a bit of my beef? I won't look while you eat it. Same gags every time. Does drive a wedge, which I'm sorry about.
But I don't feel like it's driven a wedge between us at all, John. Obviously, what I feel, you know, perhaps veganism and football, is I agree with you on the global issues, of course. Mm. I feel like by not going to the tournament at all, I've been very, you know, I've sacrificed something. I keep getting the emails from the England Travel Club about tickets for France. I'm like, oh, my God. And then I talk to you, and then I almost feel guilty for even watching it.
Good, good. So I've brought you unhappiness.
Oh, yes.
Oh, good. That's
wonderful. For many years.
Well, do email in hello@cpfpl.com if I've managed to bring you a modicum of unhappiness in your life. It is what I strive to do. Let me know if I've ruined anything outside of football for you. I'd love to talk to you about the presence of palm oil in crisps and the risk of that becoming carcinogenic in the blood.
Yes, you actually, when I sent you a photo of me cooking soup the other night, you mm-hmm. made some comment about the pan, and I just thought, oh, God.
Oh, your pan is a disgrace. Your pan is absolutely criminal. Yeah, all the black non-sticks come off. You've been scraping with non-wooden utensils. That's what I can see. You've been in a rush. You've stuck the stainless steel spoon in there to stir your broth, and you've scraped all your non-stick off. Where's that gone? Straight into your food. What's that doing to your rotten gizzards?
Well, it's not a product of being in a rush. I've had that saucepan for.
Oh, I know. That looks
6
like
years.
Jesus had that saucepan before you.
But what? It's fine. Surely you don't want me to waste it. You'd want me to keep reusing.
I'd like you to recycle it or have it recoated, of course, in an ideal world. But I've got to be honest, I don't do that. You've got to give yourself a break at some point. Get yourself a new pan or line the pan or use it for something else, you know. But you can't keep using that pan, mate. Crime against your body. It's a lovely size and shape, and I've had pans that I've been sorry to let go of, but you know, I've had the great fortune to marry a woman who takes those decisions away from me, and I come home and those pans are gone. Sometimes perfectly good pans are gone. All my plastic chopping boards are gone. All plastic utensils removed from the house. What do you think of that?
Well, again, I think once you've got them, surely just adding to clutter and waste is the least ecologically.
And what happens then?
Things to do.
What happens then? You buy a wooden chopping board. What happens to that wooden chopping board? It gets put in the dishwasher. What happens then? Yes. It splits in half because it becomes soaked with wood. Even I keep saying, wipe it with a damp cloth.
I mean, I've got to say, John, I don't trust wooden chopping boards one bit. On no level do they work for me. I always think there are germs in there I can't reach. Glass. Get a nice glass one. You know what you can do now? You can get these glass chopping boards, John, that have a kind of adhesive sticker on the bottom. You know, we've got a Smiths album one. You can get Oasis ones, Forest ones. I'm sure you can get a Leeds one. Mm-hmm. You know, brightens the place up, customises your chopping surface.
Well, do you know what's put me off doing that? Because I have gone to get one of those, and then there's a little sticker on it in the supermarket that says, this is not a chopping board and should not be used as such. I guess a risk of shattering.
I mean, what are they doing selling it then? What are they doing selling it? What next? These aren't shoes. Don't wear them.
Yeah, these pricks.
What's this? This isn't a till. Don't pay here.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
So because obviously I feel it's a football World Cup special and we should talk about the football aside my pious wanking on. I am aware, I was gigging last night, but all the chat in the green room was that Brazil looked sensational. So are they favourites or are we favourites?
Well, I've got to be honest, I didn't see much of the Brazil game last night. I was also performing at the Duchess Theatre, my residency, the political party, where I was interviewing the Shadow Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, about her economic policy and what Labour would do should they win the next election, not having the sort of favourable economic outlook that the incoming Labour government did in 1997. Really interesting chat.
I loved the statement yesterday about devolution of power.
Oh, I loved that. I watched that live. Keir Starmer and Gordon Brown.
Gordon Brown really good. Back on the agenda. Yes.
They were both very, very good. So where were you gigging last night?
One grows tired of oneself. I was at a charity gig that we'd organised to raise funds for families struggling in the cost of living crisis.
Okay, that's good. Whereabouts?
Well, you're not going to like this, mate. Derby.
That's okay.
There was a hilarious...
Why Derby?
Well, my wife, put out a tweet asking for schools that have registration of more than 70% pupil premium. So 70% pupils on free school meals as a sort of barometer of where families are struggling the most. And a school got in touch that has that quota. So we put a gig on in the school.
Bet that cheered them up.
There was an amazing bit where the M1 was shut, so I drove us to the gig. It was a very windy, dark drive. You know those drives where you don't really know where you're going. You're just following the sat-nav with full trust. Lucy, as a result, it turns out, does not know where Derby is and didn't know where we'd gone, even though she'd put the gig on. So she said, oh, it's lovely gigging back in the north, and there was a sort of murmur in the room. And she said, is this not the north? And they said, no. And she said, where are we then? If it's not the north and it's not the south. And they went, the Midlands. And she said, oh, I thought we were near Manchester.
Oh, my God. This is terrible.
And then she said, so is this Nottingham then?
Wow.
And they said, they booed. Oh, it was a wonderful moment. They booed at a charity gig. It was all playful. And she said, oh, right, do you not like Nottingham then? Why is that? And they said, the football team. And she went, but Nottingham Forest are quite good, aren't they?
Oh, good on Lucy.
It was mid-December, but I tell you what, that'll be the highlight of my gigging this year. 2022 gig highlight, Lucy telling a crowd in Derby that Nottingham Forest had a good football team.
Oh, I love that. When are you next seeing her?
Thursday.
If you could just shake her by the hand.
I will do, yes.
From 40, well played.
We auctioned off a signed Derby shirt, much japes.
How much did that go for?
How much would you pay for a signed Derby shirt? It was a silent auction, so obviously you put a piece of paper in a box.
Well, no one bid.
Highest. Well, we did that gag. Nobody wanted it. It came out on a little trolley. It was on the bottom. I said, so the prizes are stacked in order of importance. So at the top there, you've got the fruit hamper, and at the bottom, the Derby shirt.
Well, I imagine in Derby, League One Football Club, Spirit of Christ, 50 quid.
Double it. A ton.
100.
A ton. Yeah, that's lovely. That's nice. Nice.
I mean, players that no one knows, not even people in Derby, once you're at that level.
No, well, the good news is it was a last season shirt, so technically it was a championship shirt.
Oh, was Rooney's signature on it?
I don't know, actually. I didn't touch or look at it.
That might appreciate in Vanny was a piece.
Have you seen the Rooney interview? I keep seeing tweets about incredible stuff from the Rooney interview. and I haven't watched it yet. Have you?
He is as men whose weight fluctuates.
Sure.
I don't want to.
But turkey crisp.
He is looking unhealthier by the hour.
Yeah.
He is declining and expanding at a rate that is like not health. I mean, he must just be gorging. He looks so unhealthy.
He looks like he doesn't sit on a chair. He sort of sits into a chair. Sort of
imagine him on Boxing Day. Bloody. You know when you look at, you know, I think of the street I grew up on and the diet of some of the dogs on that street and the foul poos they did based on the terrible, cheap, processed tinned meat. God knows what was in it. I think that with Rooney, I think, God, when it comes out the back end, it must be a state. I bet he's not done a solid one since about 2010.
Yeah, and I bet everyone is urgent. Every shit is an absolute emergency for that man.
Imagine the acid reflux he's getting in the mornings.
Oh, he lives on Rennie's. Always in his pocket.
I'll tell you now, he'll be on prescription level stuff. Guaranteed.
Oh, do you think he's on Mega Rennie's? Rennie XL?
He'll be on that, what's it called? Omeprazole.
Oh, yeah.
He'll have all sorts of stuff for his heart. And blood pressure.
Thought I was having a heart attack. I went to the doctor.
How do you work in a work where you're surrounded by like fitness equipment, like all day you're training athletes and you don't think, I might just do a couple of laps. I mean, it couldn't be easier for him to be fit.
Yeah, but I think what he's got is he's one of them where the more obscene he looks, and I would put our Ronaldo, not new Ronaldo, not this disgusting pointy, muscly bodied one, the sulky one, our Ronaldo, triangle head. The more out
Ronaldo.
Of shape they look. Yeah, Maradona the same. The more out of shape they look, the more blown away you are by their touch. So there's something intrinsically wonderful about seeing a ball pinged towards a round manager on the sidelines and he just traps it instantly and pings it in top bins. And actually, the more out of shape you are, the more impressive that looks. Like, God, he's still got it.
Do you think that's why he's doing it?
I don't think that's why he's doing it. I think he's probably got some complex emotional issues that lead to him using food and alcohol as a support mechanism.
Or he wants to be the best footballing fat man.
Possibly. Take it to Channel 5.
Ooh, footballing fat men.
Best footballing fat men.
Where me and you put on weight, and it wouldn't take much.
More weight.
And then we basically raise a rudder, Maradona, Rooney.
Yeah, we struggle with booking some of them.
I don't think we could call it that either. There would be ethical. I'm being flippant. I do not find this.
Is there something in your love of this England team in that I think Rooney looked like a man whose farts smelt when he was playing. I wouldn't say the same about your Fodens, your Sakas, your Canes. I mean, Kane looks like a traditional, you know, I say this all the time, he looks like he could be in any generation. You could see him in a World War II outfit in a black and white photo without changing anything about it and it would look fine. But he looks like he doesn't do smelly farts and poos. They look sort of clean.
Yes, I imagine with most Premier League footballers now, they are just... I wonder if any of them ever reflect on that. It never comes up in an autobiography, does it, when they say, you know what, when I was 29 and playing for United, they were the best farts I ever did.
Yeah, yeah. I've got to thank I've got to thank Cheryl in the kitchen for getting me off processed meat. It really changed the effect of my toilet on my marriage, because it does affect a marriage. Who do you think's got the smelliest and cleanest farts in the current England squad? It's the question they're not asking. Not getting this on the Guardian football. Oh, yeah. I like
definitely.
Crisps and meat. I like bacon.
Yeah, because he'll be sneaking snacks and stuff.
Yeah, of course he is.
And probably the odd tab.
Yeah.
So, you know, that'll pollute his gizzards. Whereas, I mean, Foden looks like he still looks like he does baby poos.
You think little pellets?
I think Southgate has to like wind him in the afternoon and he like does those like milky baby pukes. And I imagine he's the only England player who's got like, what do they call him? Like a mobile above the bed that like plays music and shapes.
Oh, that's very sweet. If we were working on a TV lines. Format, I think we'd make a series of sketches about that.
Well,
we're not.
We'll do it on YouTube. We'll own the means of production.
Yeah, perhaps we'll do it at the live show coming up now, isn't it? You can smell it. It's that close.
Oh, and it's going to be a brewery as well. I cannot wait. It has, of course, sold out Sunday the 11th of December, CPFPL Live. If you're coming along, email us, hello@cpfpl.com. And it is being recorded exclusively for Another Slice listeners. So do sign up to that.
Here's an idea. Obviously, we'll maybe do another one at the end of the season to commemorate the end of the season. So perhaps email in suggestions as to where you'd like us to do that. And if there's a lot of people in one place, obviously everyone does everything in London, but it would be nice to be outside London, I think.
It would. I mean, let's be honest. We're going to have to do a tour at some point. So we'll do. Of course.
Is that where this is heading?
Oh, I tell you what, we could just do like one live one a month.
Yeah, we could. Yeah.
Throughout the year, and just rather than like have it as a compact tour, just have it.
Buy a pub.
I mean, let's
A pub and call it like the Fantasy Arms or something. And then we'll just open it as a live venue. We'll just podcast every night in front of an audience and just get hammered. That'd be fine.
God, that sounds great.
Oh, it'd just be like Big Brother, but just me and you playing, oh, no, what's my name? Hammered.
And then bicker. We would descend to bickering too quickly now.
The second day.
Oh, why don't you fuck off?
You know your fucking problems. And I'm going to say you, I mean people like you. Fucking banging on about it. What are you fucking doing, eh? Who made that point? Maybe that point was made by someone who you don't like. You're not asked, have you? You're inconsistent.
No, you may have seen John. We've covered interesting prizes in football before.
The signed Frey Bentos.
Signed Frey Bentos. The Man of the Match award at non-league Lewis FC was some freshly picked spring onions handed to Io Olukogo. I mean, they do look good. I don't know if you've seen the picture of it. It's been doing the right thing. Big spring. They're like leeks.
Yeah, I like a spring onion.
Do you ever call them scallions?
Scallions. No, I don't because I'm not Irish or American. But
do you know why I like to hear the word scallion?
Because it's got scally in it?
Well, not far. It sounds like galleon. And I always think, ooh, the high seas when I'm eating them. I think this is what Long John Jack Sparrow ate. You know what I mean? Like, it gives you a sort of link to history.
Yeah.
You know, I just find it cool. I just think, oh, yeah. If stuff's older, I think it tastes... Do you know what I mean? I kind of think, oh, yeah, I can really taste the history in these ear onions.
Yeah, I have... there's something about feeling like something was cooked in a cauldron that Henry VIII ate.
Yes.
I've bought some posh vegan steaks this week. There's a new kind out. They're called Juicy Marbles. In fact, you sent me a picture. I'm going to... In fact, just Google Juicy Marbles now on your phone.
Juicy Marble steak.
And have a look at this.
Fancy plant meat. That's what it says.
Yeah. I mean, have a look.
Bloody hell, it looks like meat, John.
It looks like meat, doesn't it? It looks like a steak.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to be having that for my tea tonight with peppercorn sauce and chips.
First ever time you've had this?
First ever time I've had it. And one of the recipes that they recommend with it is a beef bouillon, the traditional red wine beef stew. And I'm going to make one of those tomorrow with some spring onions. So I'll feed back. And I ate a food this week that you asked me to feed back on, the Chicago Town vegan cheeseburger pizza.
Excellent. So tell us everything.
Okay. I won't be buying them again. What the deal breaker in buying them was that they'd chopped up gherkins into the mix and put them on the sauce. And I thought that was very brave. If I'm honest, it was foolhardy because the gherkins make it too sweet. But it was nice to see the Chicago Town guys getting on board, and it was a nice snack, but it didn't justify how bad I felt afterwards for eating processed crap. If you're going to do it, go big.
You still felt bad afterwards?
Yeah, I felt bad for eating it because there's not, you know when you eat what they call food-like substances, there wasn't a single natural ingredient in that dish. Processed bleached white flour dough with vegan cheese and whatever the burger stuff was made out of, and a gherkin that was at one point a vegetable, but then was pickled, vinegared, dried out, frozen. You know, my body would have processed that and said, what's that? It's like toy money, like going to a shop to pay with toy money. Oh no, this just says 50 monies on it, and there's a picture of a smiling chipmunk.
I would love that to be the new fiver. There's always a debate about like diversity on money, which I'm absolutely on board with. We've never had an animal, have we?
No, we
Get
haven't.
A f***ing chipmunk on it.
Gordon the Gopher on there. What animal would you put on a British fiver? What is the most iconic British animal? An angry grey squirrel or a London pigeon? A one-legged,
like a
one-eyed
council estate pit bull. That one they always used to use in the Daily Mail to like highlight dangerous dogs, like a status dog,
foaming at the leash.
Gob.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, you put me off McDonald's a lot. I remember you telling it. There's nothing in it.
Oh, it's more joy I've taken from you. That's good.
Mm.
Oh, wonderful.
There's nothing in it nutritionally. I was like, but it's just food. Well, obviously, I've always eaten pretty healthy. It's just that I will drink a lot and also, you know, love the odd pizza. But yeah, I remember you saying that about McDonald's. I just thought, oh God, not having that again then.
Well, what you do is, what I find fascinating is that what they say you should do is eat the rainbow. It's mad that this isn't a food podcast, isn't it? But anyway, they say you should eat the rainbow. What you do, yeah, so you have some red food, some orange food, some green food. Well, there obviously aren't any purple foods, but you get the point.
Aubergine.
What you do is on Monday, you will eat a kilo of red food. And on Tuesday, you will eat a kilo of orange. You flood your body. I'll never forget the Talk Sport era when you were eating a bag of apples during the show. And I was trying to explain to you, it would be better for you to have one apple, one orange and one banana than to literally sit and eat a kilo of apples while you broadcast. And as is borne out by your pea to chip ratio, you know, if it was maybe some peas, some carrots and some, you know, raw food is best for you, some sliced red pepper, your body would be getting a flood of different vitamins and minerals. But what you said is, it's pea day. Brace yourself, guts. Here comes a ton of peas.
You know what? That is the old me. You need to get on board with the new me.
Yeah.
The soup I sent you the other night, that's the colours in one bowl.
Yeah, the soup looked good. It was the pan that
upset me. The fish and chips, I'm not going to have loads of like broccoli and carrots with it. Peas are what you have with that sort of thing.
You put carrots in curry, you lying turd.
Yeah, not with chips and fish.
It's worse to put it in a curry.
No, it's not.
I'm going to go back and look at your soup and see if I can pick out the different elements.
I get at least 10 items of vegetables into every soup.
Oh, I get plenty of sleep, mate. I can see.
And I'm going to list them for you.
Peppers.
For every soup, I start with onion, garlic, celery, ginger, chili. All fresh. That's lovely. Five. That's your base. Then I usually add.
You're all about the base, aren't you?
Broccoli, carrot, leek, peas, pepper. I then may add, if I need to sleep, potato, because I tell you, I'm on steroids at the moment, and I am manic as hell, and I'm wide enough as it is, and with the roids coursing through me, spuds are the only thing that get me off at night. I need a potato at night to knock me out. You know what I'll do as well, John, sometimes, just for the soup lovers out there, what some of you may have thought is, and if you're not putting a potato in that, once you've blitzed it, it can be quite thin. So a really good cheat, and I figured this out myself, is to chop up some baby corn and add that, and then when you blitz it, that gives it that thickened, almost potato fluffiness. Mm. Oh, thank you very much.
Here's a song for soup lovers.
Tonight.
Do you know what?
What a tune.
Do you know what I used to use when I was in my bedsit as a cheap way of thickening soups and stews?
Oh,
I used
God.
To have a bag of sort of cheap smash equivalent, basically powdered mash, and I would sprinkle some of that in.
Nutritionally, there was nothing in that.
Oh, yeah. No, nutritionally, it's not good, but it's a good way, sort of gravy granules as well, you know, a good way of adding some instant thickness and flavour.
Yes, but the problem is with gravy granules, and I've done that before with soup, it does make it into the consistency of gravy. You get that horrible gelatinous.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
No, bad, bad cheat. Bad, bad, bad John of the past.
Bad past John.
Bad, bad, bad past John. But don't do that, old John. Young John. John, I've got some exciting news.
You're retiring from comedy and emigrating.
No, even more exciting than that. we are going to release our very own CPFPL podcast beer with Kirkstall Brewery, and we've asked our listeners to send in their suggestions for what it should be called, and like Erling Haaland, they have delivered. So, we've got a name for our new beer. Can you remember what it is?
It's CPFP Hellas. It's a real quench boost.
I can't believe this is so cool that we've got our own beer. CPFP Hellas, a real quench boost, will be released soon by Kirkstall Brewery, and we'll be giving some away as prizes to listeners and another slice subscribers. And we might even get some paraphernalia made up of beer mats and bar towels. This is the dream come true. Now, as we know, Kirkstall are known for their delicious cask beers like Three Swords and Dissolution, as well as modern hoppy beers like Virtuous and Judicious, and CPFP Hells will be no different. We've got our own beer! As well as brewing great beer, Kirkstall also have some of the best pubs in Yorkshire, like the Kirkstall Bridge Inn and the Cardigan Arms in Leeds, the Sparrow Inn in Bradford, and their own tap room at the brewery on Kirkstall Road. You can get 20% off everything with the code CPFPL20. Just visit the website kirkstallbrewery.com, click on shop, and enter the code for 20% off everything with the code CPFPL20. And oh my God, coming to market soon, our own beer, CPFP Hells, a real quench boost. Can you imagine? I mean, is it the most egotistical thing in the world to get drunk on your own beer?
It would be worse if it was called, like, 4-day.
I got drunk on our own show. I've had 5 pints of me.
Getting high on your own supply.
Oh, I can't wait to taste it.
Would you like to play Oh No No, What's My Name?
Yes, I would. Here we go.
Ding dong.
Here we go. Oh, who's this? Hello there.
Hello, mate.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Sorry I'm late.
It's all right. Come on in. Can I get you a drink?
Mind me head on the door.
I think I know who you are. And I'm. Can I just say, big fan.
Oh, thanks very much, Pet. Thanks. I really appreciate that. And it's nice to know people out there supporting us, you know, and backing us. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And do you feel like you've had a good week?
Oh, I've had an absolutely amazing week. I cannot say what an amazing week it's been, you know, just the whole thing, man. Just, oh, f***ing hell, are those turkey balls? I'm f***ing starving.
And what is your favourite food?
Oh, I like prawn cocktail and a roast dinner. Roast beef. Okay. Potatoes, gravy.
Okay. Okay.
Was that a shock? I think you sound like you knew who I was, but then maybe you've changed your mind.
No. I think I know who you are. Who's your favourite musical artist?
Oh, now, that I don't know. Let's say...
you don't know who your favourite musical artist is?
No one's ever asked us that. Or more to the point, when I've answered that question, John hasn't been paying attention, so he doesn't know. Do you know?
Okay.
Why don't you
I know? Do know.
If you're Mr. Big Potatoes, why don't you tell us what your favourite musical artist is?
No. Guess.
The Eagles.
No. Female. Guess again.
The Sheagles.
Oh, you're quick-witted, you are, aren't you?
Oh, do you know, it's a much underestimated part of my personality. You know, people say I'm a real laugh. You know, obviously the team I play in, they said we was a real laugh and that. You know, that's what we're famous for, like going viral on the internet and that and having a great laugh. But I like a pun.
Oh, maybe you're not who I... Okay, female singer-songwriter is your favourite artist?
Oh, I know. It's bloody Joan Armatrading.
Are you... Can I just check?
Why don't you have a little guess who you think I am, mate?
Would in a previous life, aye, would your family have taken in Bigfoot?
Oh! No, they wouldn't. But I understand why you think that.
Bugger.
Yeah, so go back and think about somebody who's... I tell you what, go back and ask us, because I thought you know who I was. I wasn't being very clear with the clues because I wanted the game to go on a bit longer, but why don't you ask us again if I've had a good week? And bear in mind, I nearly hit my head in your door frame when I come in the f***ing door.
Yeah, and I thought...
Something else as well. The impression's gone a little bit awry.
Well, I'm guessing you're from the northeast of England and you're very tall.
Aye.
And you play for England.
Aye.
So I thought you were Jordan. Oh, tremendous. There's two Jordans. Holy crap. How has no one ever... There's two Jordans in the starting 11. I thought you were Jordan Henderson, but I think you might be Jordan Pickford.
No!
Oh,
I tell you what. Here's the trick, though. What's an interesting fact about the name Jordan?
It's also the name of a place. And a basketballer.
But what else?
Trainers.
It's not just a man's name, is it, Jordan?
It's a woman's name.
Oh, that
so
might
you've
be
got a woman's name
worth picking at.
So you've got a woman's name.
I have got a woman's name, and I'll tell you why. Because I've got a pair of tits as well. I'm a woman.
Wow.
I didn't see
how
that.
How did I miss that?
So when you said, have I had a good week? You know, bear in mind, I was very hungry. I've had a good week, sure, but I had a better, you know, last month.
Right, so you're part of the Lionesses. Oh, Jill Scott.
It's a pleasure to meet you, mate. Thanks. I'm going to take all your food and I'm going to leave now because my diary's full. Because I'm the queen of the bloody jungle, mate.
Jill, what a pleasure. Sorry I didn't recognise you.
That's
sorry,
all I right. I do sorry, sound I a lot like Jordan you. Henderson.
Just on Jordan Henderson, do you know who his favourite musical artist is?
It's a female singer-songwriter, isn't it? Adele.
Alicia Keys.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've seen that on a documentary once.
My uncle runs a piano hire company called Alicia Keys.
You what?
My uncle runs a piano hire company called Alicia Keys.
That's really clever.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Jill, you're great at puns, man.
I love a pun, me. I bloody love a pun of me. Anyway, Jill's got to go now.
Oh.
Okay.
Magnificent.
See you later.
Bye.
There we go. That was the first lovely. Lioness to feature on Oh No No, What's My Name.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. So, what do we do now? Is that it for this week?
I think that's it for this week.
It is. Well, the next time we record an episode of this, it will be recorded live in Harrogate on the 11th of December. That will be available for Another Slice listeners. And you can, if you want to subscribe to Another Slice, you can go to anotherslice.com/CPFPL, where there's four exclusive episodes there already and the live episode there exclusively for the Diamond Club.
We might put out some clips because we are aiming, of course, in the live show to wrap up a lot of the forfeits that are hanging over from last season. So it would only be fair to share bits and pieces of those with people not able to make the live show. But yes, we will be live and then we'll be back next week with another show. Enjoy the football. And I mean that. I know I'm a pious piece of shit, but if you're watching it, bloody enjoy it. And good luck to the lads. Just, you know, all the best with your endeavours, unless of course you do anything I don't approve of, in which case I want you, next time England score a goal, I just want you to picture me just shaking my head and going,
oh, that was very you were like a little squirrel there.
I am quite squirrel-like. Ooh. I think, oh no,
yes, corporate rat and sanctimonious squirrel could be pals.
Oh, there, could you imagine the clashes? Oh, vermin, both.
So, thank you so much for downloading this. Tweet us at ComediansFPL. Email us hello@cpfpl.com. Look us up on Instagram, Facebook. Leave a 5-star written review. And if you come into the live show, we'll see you in Harrogate on Sunday. Enjoy the World Cup. Bye.
Bye.